Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Ceinsys Tech Limited Q2 H1 FY26 conference call hosted by Arihant Capital Markets Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Jyoti Singh. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Sasha. Hello and good morning, everyone. On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets, I thank you all for joining into the Ceinsys Tech Limited Q2 H1 FY26 earnings. Today, from the management, we have Mr. Prashant Kamat. He is the Whole-Time Director, Vice Chairman, and Chief Executive Officer. Mr. Surej KP, he is the Whole-Time Director and CEO. And Mr. Kaushik Khona, he is the Managing Director in the operations. And Dr. Abhay Kimmatkar, he is the Managing Director. And CA Amit Saxena is the Chief Financial Officer. So without any further delay, I will hand over the call to Mr. Kaushik Khona, Managing Director in the operations, for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ms. Jyoti. Thank you and good morning, everyone. It is a pleasure to welcome you to the earnings conference call for the second quarter and the first half of the financial year 2025-26. Let me first thank our host for today's con call, Mr. Arihant Capital. In the interest of some of the people who may be new to the company, let me first start by giving you a brief overview of the company, followed by the performance highlights for the quarter and the half-year under review. Ceinsys Tech has been recently branded as CSTechAI, while the corporate name remains as Ceinsys Tech Limited. We are a leading technology solutions provider in the IT-enabled sector. We are acclaimed for our expertise in geospatial engineering, as well as other engineering services and solutions. We offer a broad range of geospatial intelligence services, including data creation, data analytics, decision support system, enterprise web solutions. In the year 2022, the company strategically expanded into the mobility sector by acquiring Allygrow Technologies, a specialized engineering service provider with a strong international presence. This acquisition allowed the company to enhance its capabilities into manufacturing technology and mobility engineering solutions, covering the entire product development process and industrial automation for diverse sectors such as two and three auto-wheelers, passenger cars, commercial vehicles, and off-highway equipment. In the year 2024, we acquired a geospatial business of VTS in the USA, which was majorly operating in the telecom domain. Since then, we are identifying some more targets for inorganic growth to expand our horizons into the domains where the company is already operating, that is, the geospatial and engineering services and technology solutions, for which the company has already mobilized almost $228 million. We serve prestigious global clients, including large corporates, OEMs, asset management companies, and government bodies, highlighting a robust reputation in both the geospatial and manufacturing sector. With offices in India, the United States, the U.K., and Germany, the company combines local expertise with a broad international reach. Additionally, the company is venturing into software product development and emerging technologies through a vertical focus on artificial intelligence and machine learning and embedded electronics. This vertical emphasizes the development of AI and ML-enabled applications and solutions to enhance our delivery for the existing domains at the outset, reflecting the company's commitment to innovation and maintaining a competitive edge in a dynamic technological landscape. Now, let me come to the highlights of our financial and operational performance for the second quarter and the first half ended 30th September 2025. We are pleased to report another strong quarter, our best second quarter so far, marked by record revenue and EBITDA. For the quarter under review, our operational revenue grew by 82% year-on-year to 164 crore. EBITDA grew by 112% year-on-year to 36 crore, with an EBITDA margin of 21.77%, reflecting an improvement of 310 basis points year-on-year. Net profit stood at 26 crore, representing a growth of 120% year-on-year, with PAT margins at 15.72%. This performance continues our trend of steady sequential improvement, with consistent quarter-on-quarter growth for more than the last six consecutive quarters. For the first half of the year, our operational revenue grew by 95% year-on-year to rupees 320 crore. If you can recollect, the performance of the company for the year 2023-24 on a consolidated basis was 254 crore. So the first half of this year overtakes that by substantial numbers. EBITDA increases by 119% year-on-year to rupees 66 crore with EBITDA margin at 20.56%, which is an improvement of 226 basis points year-on-year. Net profit for the first half was rupees 57 crore, a growth of 143% year-on-year with PAT margins at 17.93%. The growth in both revenue and EBITDA margins was driven by successful execution of projects which have contributed to stronger margins. Additionally, our ongoing initiatives to improve operational efficiency have enabled us to manage higher volumes more effectively, further boosting our operational performance. As on September 25, our total order book stands at 1,092 crore, reflecting a healthy demand and strong customer confidence. We also contribute to maintain a solid financial position with an operational cash surplus of 47 crore. Execution of technology solutions projects saw 2.54 rise in quarter two of FY this year 25-26, rising from rupees 36 crore in the corresponding quarter last year to rupees 88 crore this year, this quarter, underscoring strong demand and enhanced delivering capabilities. The technology solution segment contributed 54% to the total turnover this quarter, reaffirming the company's strategic focus on the high-value digital initiatives. Our geospatial business also delivered healthy growth, driven by increased focus on water, IoT, and enterprise solutions. The geospatial and engineering services projects grew by 39% year-on-year from rupees 54 crore in quarter two of 24-25 to rupees 75 crore of this quarter, reflecting sustained demand and operational excellence. Further, our net working capital cycle stood at 160 days during this quarter, with improvements in recovery since October 25 and further expected recoveries in the next 2 to 3 months. We anticipate the cycle to reduce to approximately 120 to 130 days in the coming quarters. We invested rupees 21 crore towards the technology innovation and business development to further expand our presence in US market with rupees 13 crore out of this already expensed out towards a profit loss account during this quarter. During the quarter, we secured several major contracts which underscore the strength and diversity of our offerings. These include an AEC software development project valued at 21 crore, which also includes a 3-year enterprise license commitment, and a 2 project management consulting contracts valued at 115 crore and 11 crore respectively. These wins reflect the breadth of our capabilities and our continuous success in securing large and strategic projects across multiple domains. In closing, we are focused on driving growth and continuing to deliver on our commitments. We remain optimistic about the future and look forward to sharing more updates as we progress. With this, I open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. The first question is from the line of Harshal Mehta from Zenivish. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
Congratulations, sir, and congratulations to the whole team for an amazing set of numbers. Pardon my ignorance, sir, if I have missed any information regarding this question, but I just wanted some clarification regarding the ESOP allotment to Prashant, sir, and some subsequent events after that. As I believe, in June 24, Prashant, sir, was allotted roughly around 650,000 options at 10 per share. And later on in Q4 FY25 con-call, Prashant, sir, clarified that he will be surrendering the remaining ESOPs because of the new CEO coming in. And again, in, I guess, July 25, 4 lakh more options were issued to Prashant, sir, at 10 per share, I guess. And recently, in the result announcement, I guess Prashant, sir, so it was confirmed that Prashant, sir, has resigned recently. So just wanted clarity, as in how are we looking at this particular scenario? As in, the issue price that we are offering, and in between also we have offered some ESOPs to other people also, but that too, those were subsequently at higher rates, considering this particular thing. So, any clarity about this, if possible?
Sure. If I can just submit. First of all, let me clarify, the ESOPs to all so far has all been allotted only at par. They have not been any differential pricing. That's point number one. Second point is Prashant sir has been granted the balanced ESOPs during the June 2025, which is part of the deliverables to him. It is only in respect of the future ESOPs which were expected are not going to be given to him because he himself has clarified that he will be active with the company till December 25. And thereafter, Suraj sir, who has already been appointed on the board, will take over as a part of the operating the CEO of the company, of the group. So there is absolutely no confusion. It is only whatever was committed and based on his performance, whatever was due has been allotted. The next tranche of, I think, around 200,000, which is not going to be due, will not be granted to him. That is what he has expressed in the, I think, previous investor call. I hope that clarifies.
Right, sir. And sir, just one small thing. I guess previously also, when those ESOPs were allotted, so whenever there was no of notification regarding any kind of KMP selling this particular shares, and the stake was substantially decreased over the time. So just to highlight, if possible, then this can be addressed for future communication if possible.
So, sir, whatever communications are required of the allotment has already been made. The last allotment which was made and due
Not related to allotment, sir. I was saying about the selling of shares.
So, I don't think the selling of share is what we are required to be providing to the investors, because it is once the shares are allotted, it is up to the shareholder whether he wants to retain or he wants to sell. However, as of now, also he holds substantial shares, which you can see from the shareholding list
filed
for 30th of September.
Right.
Okay.
So, as I said,
there is no lock-in for any of the ESOP shares once allotted, and it is up to the allottee whether to retain or not to retain.
Absolutely, sir. So I was under that impression that might be if any KMP is selling, then there should be any kind of notification. That's why
I
wanted to add it. Thank you so much.
I don't think there is any obligation to that. Thank you.
Okay. Congratulations, sir, once again for great set of
Thank
numbers.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Jyoti Singh from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So just wanted to understand, like, our working capital cycle currently stand is around 160 days. So what are the near-term steps to bring it down to 120 to 130? And also on the employee cost side has dropped 37% comparatively last year. So what structural efficiency enabled this, and if you can share some highlight on it.
So thanks for your question, Jyoti ji. The working capital cycle for this quarter ended has been at 160 days. And in fact, in the operational highlights in our investor presentation also, we have mentioned that during the first two quarters, typically the recoveries are slow because many of these recoveries are due from the government projects. And typically the government projects disbursements happen during Q3 and Q4 substantially. We have already got one tranche of substantial recovery in the month of quarter, which is after the September end. And we have also got a feedback that in the month of November, December, January, we should be able to get a recovery of almost all the overdue debtors. And therefore, we believe that at one point of time, the working capital cycle would be somewhere near 100, but as a normal kind of cycle which we predict for the purpose of the business in which we are and the government project which we are, we have been maintaining a working capital cycle of around 120-127 days even in the past. Therefore, with the kind of the recoveries already happened in one tranche as well as the recovery expected in the next 3 months, we expect that the working capital cycle will remain between 120-130 days. However, we will try to bring it down further, and that could happen more so in the quarter four. I hope I answered your question, Jyotiji.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. And sir, on the EBITDA margin side, that we have this time we have performed really well. So, what's our future target?
I'm happy that you noted that our EBITDA margins are improving. And if you see the last 6 quarters, the EBITDA margins have steadily improving. This quarter we have seen a substantial breakthrough. The EBITDA margins have improved by more than 247 basis points and 310 basis points on a year-on-year basis. I think it is only because the old project which had lower margins are getting completed, and the new projects which are having higher margins are being executed. And I think we also have the statement which we mentioned in the beginning opening statement that our focus on the technology advanced projects like IoT or artificial intelligence ML projects are going to contribute a higher margin. And that is where we see that even the turnover has also been steadily increasing. And
your recording has reached the maximum length. To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4.
So even in this quarter, we have seen that the turnover contributed on the technology solutions has been higher, which also contributes to the overall weighted average percentage of EBITDA. We expect this to continue. However, we don't give any kind of future outlook on what numbers it will be there. But based on the numbers which we have with the project which we are pursuing, we expect this to continuously steadily improve.
Sure. Thank you so much, sir. I'll be coming.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Chaudhary from Toro Wealth Managers LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. So, want to understand, sir, what part of the unbilled revenue in this quarter has been carried forward from the last March numbers? And second thing, how much of our billed receivables are pending more than 6 months?
So, if you look at billed revenues more than
80%, actually our 80% debtors which we have is less than 6 months only.
Okay, okay. So
balance 20% is, 10% is more than 6 months and rest all is more than 1 year. So 80% of the chunk of debtors is less than 6 months.
Okay, okay. And what about these 20%, like when do we expect to get them? Like,
sir, it is expected that we will be getting funds more in the month of March and February where most of the government departments do get funds. So we will be getting, we will be able to recover this during the year end, financial year end.
Okay, okay. And what part of the unbilled revenue that was there in March has been carried forward in this year?
Unbilled revenue is never like that. It has been carried forward because it is a continuous process. UBR gets generated and the billing also is being done. So there might be a normal chunk or small projects might be there where further billing or something is stuck which is continuous, but that is not the major chunk.
And we were expected to receive some orders probably that has been long pending, I feel. Any update on that?
So I think we are on the traction is on the on it. We are expecting those new kind of signing up of the new orders also within next, I think quarter three, quarter four is what we have already projected. During the quarter three, quarter four, we expect some major projects also to be awarded to us.
And there is a big pipeline which we have built up over the year. And usually, historically, the numbers are like that. We've been getting orders maximum in the Q4 as the government closes their decision-making and the tenders. So that's the national train. And yeah, Q3, we have a good pipeline, which we will close, yeah.
Got it. Got it. And last question, could you just share color on the industry, like how, what has been the like traction in the under the water projects that we are getting, payments with respect to the schemes that we are executing, just overall, although you have explained it in the initial comments and now in the questions, so how it has been compared to last 6 months, 8 months, 1 year back, is the situation better or? Like because other companies are like seeing delaying payments and also just wanted some color how does it stand now versus last 8-10 months. Is it better?
So if I can answer that, we have already seen that there was a lull in last 2 quarters because the JJM schemes were also being kind of reviewed by the government. However, the complete review is over. And that is where we saw the first tranche of major recoveries happening in the last week of October. And that is what has given us the vision as well as the confidence that the balance monies are also getting disbursed in this 3 months. As regards the water projects, obviously, they are also the kind of bids which we have made. Those also should now open up. And as what Dr. Abhayji mentioned, most of them should be kind of awarded during the quarter four. Some of them could be quarter three, quarter four.
Got it, got it. Very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address all questions from all participants, I kindly request everyone to limit your questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Ayush Agarwal from MAPL Value Investing Fund. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity.
Morning.
Yeah. Sir, just a follow-up on the previous participant's question. I wanted to understand, you know, I mean, his question was correct that, you know, of the 30 crores of unbilled revenue as of March, how much would have moved to the bill receivable and how much still stays in unbilled? Because that will help us understand that, you know, of the H1 revenue, how much has moved to unbilled?
So just to, I think our CFO has already clarified that majority has also been already been billed. Because typically in our project cycle, what happens is that the unbilled revenue is only a temporary phenomena, where we have completed the execution of a particular event and then the milestone for billing is achieved in the next quarter. So I would say out of, let's say, 135 crore UBR, we would have more than 125 crore would have been billed so far. It is only one or two schemes where it was under the lull, as I said, part of the old projects, which would have kept pending, but those also are expected, as already clarified by our CFO, by March. So I think 8 to 10 crore out of 130 odd crore was pending, but that is also under progress and that should also be built.
Actually, it's a continuous process. The UBR gets, as we progress, we deliver, we achieve the milestone, UBR gets generated and the invoices are also booked continuously.
All right. Just a follow-up on this, you mentioned that there were some recoveries in the month of October. Can you quantify that number?
We have already received one major tranche of around 40 CR and further recoveries of almost around small other recoveries of around 20 CR has already been made. So in the month of October, last week of October.
Understood. The second question, you know, is on the acquisition part and also going beyond water and Maharashtra. So this is a very big concern that, you know, a bulk of our order book revenue still come from Maharashtra, from the water, you know, department. What are we doing given we have a presence in UP, we have an office in Lucknow, and UP is a equally large state with lot of, you know, schemes happening there. What are we doing to go beyond water and go beyond Maharashtra and any update on the acquisition?
We're building already outside Maharashtra.
Yeah, Kaushik, I will take this.
Yeah.
See, it's a spread and it's a sinusoidal kind of a phenomenon. JJM has funded the project and Maharashtra was the first major beneficiary out of that. We got projects from UP as well as Maharashtra and other states. So we are not only focused in water, we are also having good presence in transportation, infrastructure, AEC, and energy utilities. So you can see the projects which we currently are executing. One is major project in energy we are executing in Maharashtra as well as UP. And there is one project called JJ we are executing in UP. We are expecting the extension of that project. The funding was, as Kaushik has mentioned, that there is a lull in funding as well as the approvals of the existing projects by the central government. So it's not only Maharashtra-focused thing, it's a countrywide phenomenon. Having said that, we are also focused into transportation. We just backed a big project from MMRDA, which is 115 crore. I again said we have a big pipeline, which is, again, with water as well as the other domains what we have. I would not divulge into those details as it's a forward-looking statement, but there is a good pipeline wherein we will definitely get a balanced kind of projects in other domains as well. I hope I have tried to answer your question.
And what about the acquisition, sir?
Ashiki, please can
sorry,
comment.
What about?
Acquisition.
The acquisition.
Okay. Suraji, would you like to take this?
I think is so acquisitions, we have been working quite actively since last three quarters or four quarters. As already explained last time, two of the targets have been kind of on the complete due diligence part. We are expecting some kind of way forward within next 1 or 2 months. Hopefully by quarter three or quarter four, we will be able to give some kind of announcement about the acquisitions which we have been pursuing. And as already clarified in the past, the acquisitions will be in the same field of the business segments which we are into, which is one is into the geospatial engineering solutions, second is into the technology upgradation. So we are focusing on that.
Understood. Sir, one final question from my end. On the standalone part, we are doing very wonderful execution, you know, but on the consolidated level, we are losing almost 6-7 crores of EBITDA every quarter. And that's a significant chunk. It becomes 25 crores on a yearly basis. So when can
we... Sir, sorry to interrupt. Can you please come again in the queue?
Just a final question. It's almost complete, madam, please.
Okay.
It's sir, may allow. Yeah, thank you.
No, it's a...
So, sir, I was asking that, you know...
I got it. So, let me attempt to answer this. We have also clarified that the subsidiary which has not been reporting positive performance is only because we are investing heavily into the business development over there. So, the kind of EBITDA losses which you see are more to do with investment into the business development and some of the efforts into the IP, which we are expensing out. So, if you look at this quarter also, we expensed out around 7-8 crores, and that is what has been happening in last 2-3 quarters because we are substantially investing into the business development in US market. The result of this is what we are expecting, as we already clarified in the previous investor call, in the quarter 4 of this year and quarter 1 of the next year onwards, we should see a bigger pipeline. There are certain large contracts which are under negotiation also over there, and we expect to kind of give some kind of update on that in the quarter four. So the investments which are happening and the standalone balance, standalone results are better than the consolidated. Your observation is right. But I think what is the EBITDA negative is more of investment rather than expenditure.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Kesha from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my question is that the trade receivables has risen to about 131 crores. So if you can elaborate on the average payment terms with the suppliers and the credit period we typically operate on. So if you could give some color on that.
So, thanks for your question. I think your observation is correct. The trade receivables are above 130 crore. And we also clarified.
The trade tables. I am talking more trade tables.
Yeah, that's correct. So it is all, first of all, these are based on the deliverables which are as per the milestone, the invoices are raised. All the receivables have typically payment within 30, 45 days. It is only because of most of these receivables are towards the government projects where because of the funding which they have not been able to secure from the central government, that the funding was delayed and therefore the debtors are there. However, as I mentioned, some of the debtors have also been kind of recovered in the October month. And as just to repeat, October, November, December, January, we should see a lot of recovery of the debtors. And typically the debtors cycle should be between 30 to 45 days. The UBR cycle then adds to it, which is why we said around 120 days is the overall cycle.
Sir, actually, my question was towards tables to the supplier.
Okay, I am hearing as trade receivables. Okay. So trade payables are those payables which are linked to the receivables. There are certain contractors whom we have negotiated to pay based on the payments which are received from our clients. So if you see, the total creditors have also gone up, and the total creditors have gone up by almost 100 crores, while the total receivables have gone up by around 140 crores. So this creditors which have gone up is only because of the increase in creditors by around 58 crores, which are linked to the back-to-back payments. So once we receive the payments from the clients, the payments will be made.
We have cleared a major chunk of payments in the month of October.
Yeah. Got answered your question.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of CA Karvit Goyal from Invest Analytics Advisory LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Good morning, sir, and congrats for a good set of numbers. My first question is on the order book side. I agree. We are saying that in Q3 or Q4 we will be getting some bigger orders. But I want you to share some size of these orders, like what kind of size we are expecting. And one more thing, last quarter when the phone call happened, you mentioned like we will be getting some orders in 2 months, right? Why that didn't happen, sir? So I want to, you to put some color on that, sir. So that's my first question.
Abhayji, should I answer?
Yeah. I just take it and then you can extend it on. So we, as I said, we have a pipeline. There are orders, there are process of tendering, there are process of approval for the projects within the department and the budgetary sanction. So this is a long cycle. However, there is a good buildup of the pipeline, and we have already submitted the bids. Those were not closed, which we were anticipating last quarter. So those are now coming up in this Q3. So, Bharat, we may find this quarter with the closures which were pending in Q2. And then again, I said that Q4 will be the largest quarter for us for any closures. Whatever numbers we have projected, those will be definitely fulfilled. We will even go beyond that. That's what I can say at this point in time. Kaushik, over to you.
Yeah, I think that answers majority of your question, and what you asked about the ticket size. So based on our past experience of last 3-4 quarters, you would have seen that we look at bidding large orders, minimum ticket size of, let's say, 50 CR. Some of the orders which we are in the pipeline could be in the range of around 100 CR, 150 CR also. So as and when we are able to kind of rectify those orders, we will be able to declare that as a part of normal procedure, which we mentioned at the stock exchange. There are certain small orders which keep on coming, for which either the follow-up action was done, but they are not significant for the efforts. We are only focusing on right now building up the major order book, as what Abhayji is mentioning. And we also clarified in the previous investors call that our pipeline is substantial, and we expect in the Q3, Q4, some major sign-off happening in the range of around 700-800 crore was already clarified during the Q1 call.
So this 700-800 is the what we have bid for, right?
Yes. No, it's we have bid for more. We are expecting the closure of those bids which we expect in quarter three, quarter four is what we are mentioning. There are certain orders what we have bid or we have done a pre-sales for it, which will take some time. It may not close in quarter three, quarter four. That pipeline will continue. However, the closure what we expect are in the range of this amount.
So out of that 700-800 CR, what is the success probability there? Because like what is the competitive intensity there?
I think that that will be all subject to the actual numbers. Abhijit, you want to comment
on that? See, there are two parts of that. One is you bid for an L1 side and there are a lot of competition. Some are the technology projects where we have a niche kind of offerings and where we have an advantage over winning the tender. So I can say out of the 700-800, we can win up to 70% to 80%. I cannot put a number to that, but it's, that's the probability we can expect to have.
Understood. And did we lose any orders to our competitors in the recent times?
Not really. We whenever we find that we could be outbidded, we do not want to, you know, participate by putting our bid. Where we have a niche technology and where we find that we will have an advantage, the pricing and all technology, both advantage means both sides. So then we actually go and bid. So we do a lot of due diligence. We do not bid every project. There are so many projects and there are so many players that come, but we have a very niche kind of offerings and we have capabilities and unique advantage or others, those we bid. In fact, we work closely with the customers on those bids and then we go and win those projects. I hope that answers your question.
Got it. And so lastly, on the inorganic acquisition, last time we said about like we will be doing it by December, we will be announcing something, but now we are saying it will be in Q4. So I'm not able to understand why this delay is happening, sir, or quarter over quarter.
Sir, I think I clarified I didn't say quarter four. It should happen in next 1 or 2 months. So I am not able to pinpoint a specific timeline by which it should be closed because it's a large exercise. It requires complete due diligence. We don't want to just venture to acquire a company just for the sake of it. And I think we are taking all the necessary precautions so that we sign off for a deal which is favorable for us. So hopefully we should get something in December. Otherwise, we'll keep track of it and then we'll communicate in the next investor's call.
Thank you very much and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Darshan Jhaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Hello. Hopefully, I'm audible. So a lot of people have asked the question that I wanted to ask for. So just so two parts from my answer. So the order info that we are saying that 700-800. So we maintain that, you know, JGN scheme 400 crores and the rest scheme 400, right? That's the number one question that I have.
Yeah, I think that's correct. Those are the indications which we had already provided. We are right now not making any changes in those estimates.
Okay, fair enough, sir. So, sir, just to elaborate on that, sir, so JGM, I don't know if a lot of peers or anyone else is starting to get orders. So, is it a possibility that, you know, it's even further delayed because it's not even in our hands? We may have bid it for it, but if the government doesn't allocate, then we cannot do anything. So is it a possibility that this year it might be just 400 crores and that JGM projects we might get it in FY27 because the we are not in the market, you were there, so, you know, we could, you know, really be grateful to hear your perspective on it because, yeah.
Abhijit, would you like to take it?
Yeah. So, see, JGM is an opportunity, was an opportunity, and then that will continue for next 2 years, but that we are not completely relying on that. Having said that, we have built up a good funnel out of outside of the JGM or outside of the water. That's what I say. We have very good funnel in the energy segment and in the municipal segment. So lot of projects we are buying, we would probably get. And then what the number we have committed or what we have decided what we should do, that we are very much on the plan, and we would be closing all those. And whatever comes out of JGM, if that really happens, that will be advantage, and that will be more than what we are envisaging to close this year.
Okay, fair enough, sir. And sir, just the other question for the acquisition side. So, what space are we looking at? Is it, more to do with government orders, or is it a more like a private player? What is the size of acquisition that we are targeting? I don't want any firm answers, but a range would also do, like, is it in this space, and, like, is it more towards government contract? Because we have some reliance on government, right?
Kaushik clearly mentioned in his opening speech as well as one or two answers he had given. See, we are trying to identify company, and we have identified company which is complementing to our offerings, which is geospatial engineering, what we call an AEC, and the mobility side. Now we are focusing on the geospatial and engineering side. There is a good market in US. Company which has the good logos and good customers, maybe they are working with government in US or private tier one players, those companies we are buying for. And then we have identified such companies. Those can be an Indian company, those can be a US-based company. But those are the major targets, and we have really worked upon that very hard. We have people who are identifying, we have done a lot of exercise on that, and we are on target. But as we, what Kaushik has already said, next one or two months, you may find something is happening in that.
So what's the rough size of it? Like, if, example, a 50 crore company or 20 crore company. I don't want an exact picture, but a rough range, okay, this is what we are looking at. Because we've improved our margins and everything very well. So will it be margin accretive, EPS accretive? Just any kind of color on that would be really good. This is what we are looking at. I know whatever closes, then that closes, but at least that's our filter for us.
Kaushik, please, you can take.
So, as I said, I don't want to speculate. We have, and if you have seen our intentions, we have already mobilized $28 million, which is 235 crores. So our target is not to look at 2, 5, 10 crore companies, small companies. We are looking at companies which have potential of either generating a revenue of 50, 100, 200 crore is what we are looking at. So let's keep our fingers crossed. Let's wait for some more time. We have waited enough, and I think in next one or two months, or maximum by the next one quarter, we should be able to give some kind of good news.
Okay, fair enough. Can I ask one more question, sir?
I think moderator would request you to come again.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Kaushal Sharma from Equinox Capital Ventures Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So my question on your employee benefit expense, I missed that part. Your employee cost is around 36.9% in the last corresponding quarter. That's been reduced to almost half.
I can't hear you.
Hard to hear you.
Hello, am I audible?
Now you're audible.
Yeah, so my question on your employee cost, like the corresponding last quarter, you are having around 36.9% as a turnover. Now it's drastically reduced to 19.9%. So what was the key reason of this drop?
So if you see the numbers, I think it's very clear. We have the overall employee cost has been stagnant. From a 35 crore of employee cost last year of same quarter, it is around 33 crore. And today also in this quarter also is around 33 crore. The overall employee cost is the same. What we have explained in the past is look at the turnover. So the utilization of the employee from a 32 crore worth of cost, we had achieved a turnover of 90 crore. This time on a 32 crore of employee cost, we achieved a turnover of 163 crore. This also speaks about the way we want to kind of project for a higher margin business, which is a technology business. And that is why we see that we are trying to optimize. One element which perhaps you would also, if you are analyzing, in the previous quarters, I think in September quarter of 2024, as well as
in the June quarter of 2025, there was a slight debit of ESOP cost also. So if you exclude that ESOP cost, you will still find that overall employee cost percentage has been improving quarter on quarter.
Okay, sir. And currently we are having around 1,092 crores of order. So what is the execution timeline for executing this order?
On an average, it is around 18 to 24 months. And some of the projects, as we already mentioned in the past, there are O&M revenue, O&M inbuilt into that, which will go up to, let's say, 2 to 5 years thereafter. So effectively, the project capex life cycle will be between 18 to 24 months average.
And what is the amount of O&M in the overall order book?
Sorry.
Your voice is, again, we are not able to hear you.
I'm saying, what is the O&M order book out of this?
The O&M order book out of this is around 78 crores, not much.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Ankur Kumar from Alpha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Sir, in the previous call, we were saying that on the revenue side, there will be QOQ, and we will do around 600 to 700 crore of revenue this run rate for this year. Do we stick to those numbers, sir?
Sir, I think last time also we clarified we don't give projections, and we had asked you to kind of calculate on your own, and I think we have lived up to that. If you look at the first half, we have reached 320 crores. And if you look at the quarter run rate, it is 165 crore of quarter two. And if you know the industry, typically quarter three, quarter four revenue should be a little higher. So I guess, that's the kind of arithmetic which will help you to reach your target. And as we have been maintaining, we don't give our projections and the future outlook. But I think we are on line with what we have
planned for this year.
Yes.
Got it, sir. And sir, on the previous question to one participant, you said around 60 crore of receivable we have received in October month. Am I right on that answer?
You are right.
Got it, sir. And sir, so basically, order book is, I think, the biggest concern the market right now has. We have not won much orders in the last, say, 6 to 9 months. So if we can comment, do we expect in Q3 or Q4, or do we expect it to go to next year, sir?
I guess Abhay has already answered
that. Yeah. And we received one big order from MMRD in this last quarter, which is 115 crore. It's an AEC engineering order, and it's a significant order, one of the prestigious order for us. And we have already said that we have a good pipeline, which we will close perhaps in Q3 and Q4.
Sure, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Raj Sara from Finvestors. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Congratulations for the great set of numbers. And just most of the questions have been answered, but two key points. That how much order books, which you are mentioning that 600 to 700 order booking will be there in the Q3 and Q4, is from JMM scheme. First question is that.
Abhay ji.
Hello, can you repeat? I couldn't hear it properly. What was the question?
Sir, our probable order booking will be 600 to 700 in Q3 and Q4, as you mentioned. So how much of these orders are from JMM scheme?
JJM scheme, you're saying?
JJM scheme.
So what I said, we are not 100% relying on JJM. That's not the only thing we are doing. We have already built up our pipeline as per what plan we had created. So even if JJM comes or not come, we will be closing what number we have in this hatch. If at all JJM comes, then we will be surpassing the target numbers. So I do not want to give exact number on those, but this is what the things in store for us.
Okay. And sir, so the second question is, sir, your margins are increasing. So as you mentioned that our previous orders, which is of lower kind of margin, is actually being adjusted. So right now we are having a better margin order book. So do we expect that margin to continue to?
Kaushik ji had answered this in last con call, wherein he has clearly mentioned that we are getting more of technology projects, which are the larger earnings and larger margins. So we are really, keeping our eye on those projects, getting those projects which has larger margins. So yeah, but there are few small projects wherein reduced margin, but we have to really take entire market and what capabilities we have, so we have to keep taking projects. But yes, we are improving upon our margin because we are going for the technology kind of projects. Kaushik, you want to add on this? Please go ahead.
No, that's correct. I mean, if you look at even margin numbers and percentage, technology margin has been between 27%-32%, and the geospatial has been between 18%-24%. So obviously, the choice with the given options which we have, we'll prefer for a higher margin business.
Okay, so that means that it should continue or even improve.
That's correct.
Thank you very much, sir, and hope that all these order book concerns will flush out with some upcoming months and
yeah,
order booking announcement. Thank you, sir.
And just for the sake of clarity of all, while this order book is what we are pursuing, we also have clarified that certain business, which is mobility business and the product business, we have certain commitments, annual contracts, which we don't add into the order book. So even on those, I think almost 100-150 crore of the annual business is something which is beyond the order book. So I mean, that we don't see that as a concern, because I think Abhay ji has a good control on the building of the order book in the coming times.
Sir, you mentioned 100-150 crore order book annual in the mobilities.
Mobility and product services, yeah.
And product services. And so what kind of margin we are from
Similar margins. They are also similar, 24-25% margins in the mobility part.
Okay, and it is annuity business, sir.
It's not annuity, but yeah, there are certain commitments which are annual contracts. So in mobility, there are some annual contracts which continue. In product services, there are annual build-up. There are regular clients. We have more than 350 corporate clients which continue to contribute, which have renewal business. So those numbers continues, which we don't make part of the order book.
So have we anything realized from that section also, sir, in our first half?
So yeah, we have. In fact, the mobility business is a typical corporate clients, international clients, and where the recovery cycle is hardly 30-45 days. So there is no change, no build-up. Even on the products also, the recovery cycle is between 30-45 days. So there is no major build-up on the debtor side. And on those segments, there are no UBRs as such.
So, sir, what kind of revenue percentage we can assume from that section, sir, going forward or even for this year?
If you are projecting a turnover of 750 crore, while I'm not giving you that as an indication, I'm just giving you arithmetics. Let's say 150 crore out of 750 crore, 20% would be those business, and the rest of the business will be the other project business.
Yeah. Fair, sir. Fair. Thank you. Thank you very much for the clarification, sir, and best of luck for the future, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Ankit Sahai from Fusion B Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My question was regarding the water linking project. So what are the milestones and how much revenue is booked and unbooked? Can you give some clarity on that?
Sure. So in the river linking project, I think you are referring to the river linking project, which we are doing the detailed project report. We have, in fact, in the project, there are almost 57 milestones. But the milestones were then changed to some extent where the government wanted the phase one to be first completed, which we already completed. So the milestones have slightly changed as compared to the original numbers. But we have already, I think, booked revenues in the range of around 48 crore so far on the river linking. Around 48 crore, we have already booked the revenue in the quarter one and quarter two, in addition to small numbers, which was already built in the quarter four of last year. So I think by this quarter end, we are around 48-49 crore is the revenue, which has already been booked from this river linking project.
Okay. So total was 381 crore, right?
Totally 381 crore. That's correct.
Yeah. So, like, any rough timelines to be for the complete execution for this?
I mean, because the government has been, I think, changing little, as I already mentioned, their approach has changed from what it was done earlier. So I guess, I mean, it will be difficult to guess any timeline, but hopefully by March end, we'll be able to give you a better picture. We expect something to be closed by March or June.
Got it. Got it. Okay. Thanks for that, was helpful, and congratulations for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Arvind Kanungo from AK Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Sir, I just wanted to know what are the future projections for the order book for the next two or three quarters?
I think Abhay has already mentioned, we are working on a pipeline. We won't be able to give you exact numbers. Abhay, would you like to elaborate further?
Yeah, it's again, I would reiterate that, we have a pipeline which is spread across all our domains, wherein we have been, you know, getting our projects. We are not only relying on water and JJM, but we have really built up a pipeline in various projects, various different domains. Some of them are niche, where some of them are really technological advanced projects, which we are anticipating to get cracked in Q3 or perhaps maybe by Q4. But yes, there is a good pipeline, and just based on that, we'll be able to close this off.
Okay, yeah, that was it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Nirvana Laha from Badrinath Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question is regarding something that a previous participant asked. We are constantly investing in our subsidiary in the U.S. So if I look, this started around Q2 FY 25, I believe. So over the last five quarters, the P&L impact itself has been about 36 crores, and you mentioned this quarter you've capitalized 8 crores. So if you can give the total spend that we have done, you know, over the last five, six quarters, what is the P&L impact? What is, how much we have capitalized? And of what we have capitalized, where is it going towards? What kind of IP are we building? If you can give some color on this, because we would like to understand this better.
I think that's a good question, and your numbers are spot on. The overall CapEx on the last, I would say, since July 2024, because that was the time when we acquired the VTS business. Since then, we have capitalized hardly 8 crore, which is basically the IP, and the future prospects of business which we have acquired for. That is the total CapEx. Otherwise, every quarter, whatever business development, promotions, et cetera, which we do, they are expensed out. So 36 crore is something which is expensed out, and 8 crore is what is capitalized. Nothing beyond that.
Okay, and the 36 crore is towards BD employees, you are saying. So are we still pursuing only VTS's core domain of telecom with these new employees?
No.
Give some color on, yeah, what these employees are exactly going to do for us.
No. So these employees are, Suraj, you are there?
Yeah, yeah, I joined. Yes.
Okay.
So just to answer your question, the focus is way beyond what VTS was doing beyond telecom. The idea is to take the capabilities that we have developed outside U.S. into U.S. market. So there's active engagement with customers across multiple domains, which are a stronghold, which is in the, in water, in telecom, in utilities, also road transportation. So it's a broad, and obviously, the mobility business continues to grow from an engineering standpoint. So these are the, all the areas that we are targeting to, you know, engaging and growing the business outside of the India.
Okay. Okay, good to know that. Last question on this one is, you have mentioned that the costs will sort of start tapering from Q4 to Q1. So does that mean that the revenues will start growing and they'll start absorbing the costs, or are you saying that the costs on an absolute basis will start growing?
No, I think what I expect is the revenue will be substantially improving, which will absorb the cost.
Okay. And this is likely to happen as soon as Q4, you are saying?
That's what I think. The work is in progress. Suraj, if you'd like to highlight further.
No, absolutely. I think, as you know, we've told in the earlier quarters, investments are on. There is a certain cycle for closing down the business, as you know. So there is active, you know, sales engagement and marketing and pipeline development happening. So that's where we are seeing the scale of the business going up in the coming quarter based on the level of sales activity and traction we're getting in the market.
Understood. And sir, the employees that we are hiring.
Sir, sorry to interrupt, but
if I can
please rejoin.
I'm requesting you to allow me to finish this question. The employees that we are hiring right now, maybe for VTS, when we complete the acquisition, do you think these employees can also sort of work for the acquired company, or they will be limited to VTS?
No, 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 no. The new talent coming on board are much broader than what original VTS capability is. So they will be well equipped to support beyond what VTS's original core business is.
And now VTS is a CS Tech. CS Tech is.
Yeah, VTS name is not there anywhere anymore.
Okay, it's been amalgamated.
That was a business takeover. This was an asset takeover, so it was not an amalgamation.
Okay.
VTS telecom business was taken over.
Understood.
As a business.
Understood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Athar Syed from SmartSync Services. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, continue.
Sir, I have just two questions. My one question is related to, like you are saying, you have good orders pipeline. So if you don't mind, can you please tell us how much we have in pipeline, orders pipeline?
That we can't spell out, but we have already told that how the pipeline looks into. The number what we have projected earlier, which was shared by Kaushikji over the last three quarters, we've been consistently saying that we will be closing all those. So we cannot pinpoint on the numbers at this point in time. And then it is a forward-looking thing, so that we won't be able to do. But yes, we have already elaborated and, you know, consistently saying that what we are going to do, what kind of projects we're going to have. So we have already explained, perhaps.
Okay, sir. And my second question is, like, we operate under JJM, Jal Jeevan Mission. So recently we met with another company which also operate in water. So I understand that there is one scheme called AMRUT, where some companies are also getting good orders. So do we operate under AMRUT scheme, or why we don't operate under AMRUT scheme? Any specific
issue? Yeah. So government has two programs. One is for the urban side, which is AMRUT, and one is for the rural side, which is JJM. So AMRUT funding was given prior to JJM. We had enough of projects earlier executed under AMRUT. And municipality are the organizations which directly gets help, and they publish the tender. Whereas JJM, it's a centrally published tenders wherein we have a larger share, and we are getting projects because those are the large value projects. And it's a very significant technology implementation happening in JJM. Whereas in AMRUT, majorly the funds went into for the augmentation of existing scheme, which is on the capital side. And AMRUT is still under rollout. Not the entire fund has been given, but the kind of fund it was supposed to get is not happening there. So we are still vying our future on AMRUT and JJM both. But yes, AMRUT has been lagging on the fund side.
And sir, can you please explain what are the AI solutions we provide to our customers which helps them in reducing costs?
Sir, sorry to interrupt, but can you
This is my last question. This is my last question. Like, sir, what are the AI solutions we provide to our customers which help them in reducing costs?
Yeah, so,
I think.
Yeah. Continue, miss. Then I will add.
So I had already mentioned in my speech that the present AI/ML solutions we are enhancing in-house, where we are trying to improve efficiency and reduce the cost of people, and also increase the turnaround time. So I think at present, we are not selling this to the customer. However, we have done a good amount of, I would say, POC even for the other customers, and we have been successful with the kind of accuracy more than 95% as required by the customers. We have also filed two patents for the kind of process technology which we have developed on this AI/ML technology. So I think presently we have been focusing on getting efficiency benefits within the project which we are handling. Some of the projects which we have also used, I would say also a little bit application has also been made in the river linking project, in the DPMS project. Some of the projects have benefited because of the AI initiatives which we have taken.
So I will add into that. Geospatial technology is more of a remote sensing kind of application, so which is completely relying on the AI side. We have been doing a lot of tooling all this while, but since the advent of AI, we have been able to bring a lot of efficiency in data processing, which has eliminated the cost and benefited the customer. There are two direct benefits. One is the timeline wherein the delivery was happening, so we are drastically reduced by 30%, and then of course the productivity on the cost side. So those two are the major benefits we have got, and we have passed it on to the customer. As we've been on the geospatial, core geospatial and data side, we have been able to do this advancement in our delivery side.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Gunit Singh from Counter Cyclist PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
So, most of the questions have been addressed, but the only concern I have is regarding the receivables. So, around 410 crores of receivables. So I just would like to understand, what risks do we face with regards to these receivables? And do we plan to bring them down in the coming quarters? And if so, what kind of a number do we aim to or target to see in the next quarter regarding the receivables? And also, do we have a minimum threshold in terms of completion of a project post which we recognize the revenue? So, for example, with completed 80% only, then we will recognize the revenue. Or do we even recognize the revenues post, say, 20% or 30% completion of the project?
The revenue recognition is based on Ind AS, and it is not on 70, 80 or something like that. Revenue recognition is being done as per Ind AS, and whenever we achieve the milestone, that revenue recognition happens. So it is not that we don't recognize revenue up to 80% or we cannot do that. We recognize revenue as per Ind AS, and as far as debtors are concerned, we have already clarified that the momentum and the funds have already been started in the month of October, and we may get a major chunk from our debtors. We will receive the funds in next 2-3 months. So we should be able to reduce this amount of debtors or the blockage we have in debtors right now. So this, I think, we have already discussed during the call.
So these 100% receivables are from the government, right? Do we have any risks of default with regards to these?
The majority is from government, but it is not that 100% is 100% data are from government.
Is it possible to give a breakdown of our top, government versus private debtors, and also, the more than 6 months bucket?
I think CFO has already clarified that more than 6 months bucket is 10%. Typically government, because our majority projects are either government or corporations for which the debtors is there. So I would say almost around 80 to 82% of the debtors or the receivables will be for the government projects, and balance 18, 19, 20% will be for the other projects which we are doing.
Got it. So, sir,
sorry to interrupt, but can you please rejoin the queue?
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of CA Garvit Goyas from Invest Analytics Advisory LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the follow-up. Just on the river linking project, execution seems to be a little lower side as far as the total value of the project is concerned. So I just want to understand what is the hindrance there on. Like, are we
working on it, or what is the problem that we are not able to execute in a fuller fashion, sir? Because as far as I remember, the timeline was around June. Then you said ki, we will be executing it over the next 2 quarters, and now it seems like ki, we are very behind from the total value of the project to be executed.
So thanks for the question. I had clarified during the call that there was a change in the approach of the client, the government, and they wanted to first focus on phase one, and they changed the whole area of focus. So what has happened is that earlier execution process has been little deviated, and we have completed the phase one which they wanted us to complete, and all the documents DPR has been submitted. So I think we have achieved, and that was a good milestone where government client has also appreciated that. In fact, they had initially thought that this phase one, which was also elongated, we would complete by November end or December, but we completed the project by September, and the entire DPR along with the documents, drawings and estimates has been completed before 15th of October. So I think that's a progress as per the client requirement. While initially, yes, you are right that we should have completed based on 2 to 3 quarters, but because the change of the approach of the government, the project has been, I would say, phased out in a manner that it could take another 2 to 3 quarters. And we are as per the plan given by the government, so we are not delayed on that side.
So does that mean like fuller value of the project will get executed in this year itself, or some part of it may be into Q1 next year?
Yeah, part of it could be into next year as well.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Due to time constraint, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Sure. Thank you, Arihant Capital, for arranging this call. And thank you all for participating in this earnings conference call in large numbers. I hope we have been able to answer all your questions satisfactorily. If you still have certain questions further, our IR managers and Valorem advisors can be connected, who will then coordinate for getting more answers. This conference call transcript will also be published in due course of time. Thanks once again for attending to this conference call and appreciating the performance.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Sciences Tech Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.